think, was it during our 20-year anniversary of being there? Is that when this was? I can't remember, but point taken, point made. We were driving down, and I came to this intersection, and there was this chain link fence, and I can still see it in my mind. And as we were turning that corner, a flood of memories came back. I was like, do you remember when we did this and when we did this? That location, it just sparked everything for me. And I'm very much like that. A certain location just kind of holds memories for me, and they'll come out. I guess I'm a very visual person, and so that probably has some to do with it. But so I'm interested in Jericho, because Jericho is kind of like that in Scripture. Jericho is a location where a lot of very significant things happened in the Old Testament and significant things happened in the New Testament. I will tell you that there's Old Jericho and there's New Jericho. You have the Old Testament Jericho, where the walls came tumbling down and all of that. And then kind of a little bit further in, there is a newer Jericho. And so when we go from the Old Testament, we're going to go from kind of outside Jericho, looking at the walls and seeing, talking about some things that happened there. Then we're going to go inside a little bit of Jericho and a little bit possibly in between the old and the new cities, because I think that might be where Bartimaeus was. But you'll remember that Jericho, oops, let's write a J instead of a D. You'll remember that Jericho was a huge obstacle to Israel. Israel ends up camping, it says many times, it says Israel camps on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. And so if we were to draw a little map of the Bible lands, as kind of we're familiar with in the Mediterranean Sea here, Jericho is kind of right here, right at the tip, the northern tip of the Dead Sea. And so they hang out. I know that's a small picture, but they hang out kind of on that side, on the eastern side of the Jordan, getting ready to cross over. And then they're going to be confronted with Jericho. That's a little bit of the geography here. But from this location, some significant things happen. You remember Balaam? Balaam's a story of the prophet that was called, and you need to call down curses on Israel, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't say what God didn't give him, and he ends up blessing Israel and cursing Israel's enemies. That happens from this place, from the plains of Moab, just across the Jordan from Jericho. God commands Israel to take a census there. Let's see how many of us are there. He commands them to take the promised land and instructs them how to divide up the inheritance from that location while they're there. From here is where they stage their siege of the promised land, and they go into the land of Canaan. This is actually part of what becomes the inheritance of some of the Israelite people, the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They actually take on this area as their inheritance. On the plains of Moab by the Jordan, just across from Jericho. Across the Jordan, just outside Jericho, is where Joshua meets the angel, and he receives instructions. He actually says he saw a man, and a man holding a sword, and you'll remember he says, so are you for us or are you for them? And I love, this is one of my favorite lines in Scripture. Neither one. I'm for God. I'm the commander of the Lord's armies. And this is what these are the instructions I have to give. That took place just across the Jordan, right kind of at the foot of the walls of Jericho, so to speak. So Joshua meets this guy there. It's here that the Israelites are called to believe to do, you know, some crazy stuff. Do you remember the instructions that he receives? You know, you're not going to go and, you know, you're not going to make the battering rams and all these military and army type machines to try to batter down the wall. Instead, you're just going to walk around. I mean, we've learned that from the time that we were little kids. We're almost too used to it. I mean, seriously, we're just going to walk around? Oh, no, you're not going to just walk around. But after you do it a bunch of times, I want you to yell really loud. And that will be intimidating. And that will really shake things up. Well, it does, actually, quite literally. The Israelites are called to believe in some pretty crazy things. And God challenges them. He tests them to grow in themselves and to grow in their faith. And it's here that they're blessed to see God do some really cool stuff. God is able to do more than they could have ever hoped for or even imagined, to kind of steal some words from what the way Paul puts it later in the New Testament. And he does these amazing things, both in them and he does them through them. And so here is where God enables his people to break through some barriers. Because you remember, Jericho was a serious wall for them. I mean, they had to, somehow they had to get past, they had to get through this barrier that they had run into. So a lot of stuff happens here at Jericho, and it becomes a significant place for teaching and for training and for learning some things about God. I want to read from Numbers 33. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read 50 through 56 from Numbers chapter 33. They're on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. That's what it says. So I'm reading from verse 50 of Numbers chapter 33. Numbers 33 from 50. So here we go. On the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their carved images and their cast idols and demolish all their high places. Take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land to possess. Distribute the land by lot according to your clans. To a larger group, give a larger inheritance, and to a smaller group, a smaller one. Whatever falls to them by lot will be theirs, distributed according to your ancestral tribes. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, those you allow to remain will become barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will give you trouble in the land where you live. And then I will do to you what I planned to do to them." I want you to see a couple of things as we talk about how do I make a change? I mean, truly, how do I become different? We talked about in the Lord's Supper that God, the great mystery is Christ in you. It's God inside helping you to be more, helping you to be fully whom God has planned for you to be, helping us to be whom God has planned for us to be. How do we make a change? There's a couple of things from this passage. One is he says, here's the thing. If you want to bust through this wall, if you really want to take claim of the inheritance that I have for you, well, you're going to have to drive some things out. You're going to have to look at the things that aren't of me, those that aren't going to take you closer to me, and you've got to drive those things out of your life. They can't be a part anymore. If we skip to the end of that little passage, he says a couple of things. It's interesting to kind of slow down and think about these words. He says, if you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land and all the things that are pursuing other gods, here's what's going to happen. Those you allow to remain will become barbs in your eyes. Now, barbs in your eyes makes me think of like thorns or whatever. What does that mean, barbs in your eyes? It means they're always going to be tempting to you. If you don't drive out those things you know tempt you, they're always going to be there in front of you. You got to get rid of them. He says another thing. He says, they will become barbs in your eyes and thorns in your side. Do you remember who writes about having a thorn in his side? Paul writes about that. There's speculation to what that was. But he said he's got this thorn in his side. It's just this nagging thing that will not let him go. If we don't drive out the things that are not of God in our lives, they're going to imprison us. That's what they do. They'll be ever before us as temptations, and they're going to be a thorn that's like a prison keeping us tied to sin. We have to drive those things out. They will give you trouble in the land where you live. You're not there yet, but these things are going to follow you everywhere you go, unless you attack them. As you're thinking about this next year and you're thinking, or this new year that we're in, and you're wanting to grow, and what are those things you have got to drive out? Maybe it's just one. Maybe it's just one thing right now. God will show you. He says you got to drive it out. If you don't, it's going to ever be with you, ever be for you. The other thing is this, and this is the thing that's exciting to me, and that is there's a promise here. He says, look, take possession of the land and settle in it, for I have given you the land. I think if there's anything that we're meant to learn from this whole experience that Israel has and coming up to this wall, and I mean, you got to understand, this was a huge, huge endeavor. God said, I've already given it to you. It's already yours. Sometimes this doctrine, this idea, may be stretched too far, but maybe it's not. We talk about a name it, claim it sometimes, and that might make people feel uncomfortable, but God says, look, I've named it, you claim it. I'm convinced that the Bible teaches us that we can be done with sin. I'm convinced of it. That's the way the language reads. You can be dead to sin and alive to Christ. Slaves no longer to sin. You don't have to be a slave anymore. You can be free in Christ. I mean, to me, that language, it's done. It's over. God says, I promise you, you have to just claim it and live. That means that when the Israelites, when they're looking at this wall and they're thinking, how are we going to attack this thing? How are we going to get through this wall that we just have never been able to break through before? God says, you're going to have to trust in my ability. You're going to have to trust in what I can do because I've done this already. I've done this for you. The Eagles played the Dallas Cowboys a couple of nights ago, weeks ago now. And now, if I'm getting my games right, I don't normally watch this much football, but when my dad was here, it was a little bit of over. We had a little bit more than what overkill, I think, is what my amen. My wife almost amened in church. Hallelujah, amen. Preach it, preacher. Were they fighting for a playoff seat or?
Win and in, losing. Whoever won was in the playoff.
Whoever won was in the playoff. But there's another game played that day where it didn't matter, wasn't there? It was the same thing all day long. It seemed like I remember.
All day long.
All day long. It wasn't the only battle going on in our house, let me just tell you.
Clearly.
When the Eagles didn't make it to the playoffs, my wife was like, yes! Not because she's a Dallas fan, but because she's a fan. We read a sign. We read the sign that says, "Please, we interrupt this marriage for NFL football," or something like that. It was pretty funny. Anyway, my thought was, I was thinking that there was a game that was played that was already secured. Was it the Patriots or not the Patriots? Cincinnati? I don't know. I don't know about football. I'm talking about what I don't even know. I let out the secret. But how much better to go into a game like that, to go into one of these final season games and know you've already won. You've done what it takes. You've already won the game. And all you need to do is just play and enjoy. Because you're going to win by something that's bigger than you anyway. I think that's how we're supposed to approach these kinds of things, with that kind of confidence that God is fighting, has fought for us, that we're victors in Christ. And that we should approach these walls in our life with anticipation. But it takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of want to. It takes a lot of desire to want what God wants more in our life than what maybe we want. So the land is promised and it's already given to them. But the thing is, they have to act. And they have to act completely. They have to go for this promise, and they have to obey completely. And sometimes that's tough. It's tough to trust when it doesn't seem like it's going to make sense. Well, if we jump ahead a couple of years and we go into Luke, in Luke chapter 18, there's a guy sitting outside this wall, perhaps between what was the old city of Jericho and this rebuilt new city. I think perhaps right there, because it says in Luke chapter 18, beginning verse 35, it says, as Jesus approached Jericho, as the story goes, there's this blind man, and he was sitting by the roadside, and he was begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, what was happening? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And so he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. We're familiar with this story. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. And he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and he ordered the man to be brought to him. I just picture this in your mind. There's this whole entourage that's traveling down the road, and Jesus is talking. The people are kind of crowding in. They're trying to get close to him. They want to hear what he has to say. And here is this guy whom nobody really wants to be around and nobody really wants to talk to. He's probably not very clean. Cries out to get his attention. He just hears that Jesus is going by, and Jesus stopped. Verse 40. And ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. He replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. Here's a guy who wants a change. Here's a guy who finds himself, he knows that there can be more for him. He longs for that. He longs for this impossibility in his life. The guy truly cannot overcome, he cannot break through this wall without Jesus. And so a couple of things I want us to see from this blind man whose name is Bartimaeus, we read from another account. Is one of the things was that Bartimaeus, I'm just going to write up here Bart. One is he sees his blindness. Can you see your blindness? This just happened, so I'm going to tell you. It happened while I was preaching a couple of weeks ago, and then it just happened again. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking about the importance of being an encourager. You know, we really need to encourage somebody. We tend to tear people down, and we shouldn't do that. And then I turned to Shane, and as I was saying that, I was encouraging him, and then as I was saying that, I made a bald joke. Do you remember that? Well, I went into this long story of how Joe came in on Wednesday night, and he was so happy, and he just overflowing with energy. He was, Joe, why are you so excited? And I was telling Joy this story. And I said, he almost couldn't contain himself. And I finally asked him, I said, Joe, why are you so excited? And he grinned and he said, because Joy has laryngitis. I went out of my way to tell Joy that lie. Joy likes to joke. You know, and I love that about Joy. We often banter back and forth. And in some ways, it's harmless. But then, as she walked away, I thought, why did I just do that? Why did I go out of my way to kind of poke her like that? My point is, after she walked away, you know, God showed me a little bit of that blindness in me again. Things that maybe I might not see about myself, but I want to see them. I want to see them. Do you know where you need to grow? More specifically, I should ask you, do you beg God to show you? Because you have the choice of remaining the same and never growing, but that's not God's plan. There's a guy who came to Scotland on a mission campaign a couple years in a row. His name was Bob West. He sells coffee in Nashville. That's about the sum total of what I know about Bob, other than he asks the most probing questions that makes you feel so uncomfortable. But he does it for this reason. It's to prod you to grow. And his slogan is, if you're not green and growing, you're brown and dying. You've probably heard that before. But he just latched onto that. And now I do. God expects us to be moving forward and growing, to be able to see our blindness. Bartimaeus saw it. My guess is that after Jesus, he sees this immediate need that he has, but then my guess is that Jesus is going to show him later in life, because it says he goes on and follows him, that he's going to reveal to him a lot more about himself. But he saw his blindness. The other thing I want you to see is this, and it kind of relates to this idea over here, is that he believed in Jesus. I've been challenged by the reading that we're doing yet again in this Making Peace book as we're reviewing. It's kind of nice that it's taken us 8 years to get through this book. I've read it maybe four times now, just going back
is
and
that
reviewing.
You being encouraging again?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you.
Just want to make sure.
It was. I'm glad it's taking so long. Because it's causing me to go back and think about things again. And I was just reading again in preparation for Wednesday night that leaders need to be talking about two things to their congregations. One is how to submit to each other, and the other is that Jesus is Lord. One is submission, which would, I said each other, but it includes God and Lord. But the other is that Jesus is Lord. And what does that mean, that Jesus is Lord? I mean, we read some stuff out of Colossians 15 today. We didn't read the whole, Colossians 1, beginning in verse 15. We didn't read the whole deal, but that passage is saying Jesus is everything and he's completely able. Are you convinced of that? I mean, this guy, he's sitting there. He can't even see what's going on. He just kind of hears this bustle, and you know he's got his ear to the ground because he hears somebody talking and everybody's excited and there's this energy in the air and it's passing by and he doesn't want it to pass him by. He's like, what's going on? He said, oh, well, Jesus is coming up. Jesus? That's the one I need to see. That's the one I need to talk to. That's Jesus! Jesus! Yeah, why is he yelling at me? Good. We talked about we're going to put that on the screen. Why is he yelling? Because that's how excited Bartimaeus is about Jesus. So desperate. Do you live that way? I got to get to Jesus. I got to, because he believed. He believed Jesus would make all the difference. We're going to get to Zacchaeus. I love the flow of this story. And I won't take as long on Zacchaeus, but we're going to get there and see what Jesus does. But Bartimaeus has got to get to Jesus. And so does Zacchaeus, by the way. But then I love the simplicity of this. Jesus, first of all, I want you to see that Jesus, he stops. Jesus is willing to stop. And he's willing to go, all right, Jim. I mean, is that not encouraging you? I mean, he's like, Tim, you got my attention. We were just kind of joking about this in our meeting yesterday, but I'm bad about it. Sometimes I'll be sitting there and there will be somebody talking, something happening over there. And again, this just happened the other day. My wife saying, that was directed to you. I'm in my own world. Jesus will stop and like take our head, our face in his hands and say, what would you like me to do? I mean, do you understand that Jesus is the exact representation of God, and as he walked with man, so God walks with us. And he says, this is the kind of God that I am. I will stop. You're that important to me. If you will call on me, I will give you my full attention. What would you like me to do? And I love the simplicity of this. Bartimaeus He asks. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. Those are Jesus' words. He comes to press that truth, that exciting message onto our hearts. You want to change? Ask. Ask me. Ask me for the world. Ask me. You think your earthly father knows how to give good gifts? You ain't seen nothing. And so, this outlandish request, God, I want to see. Lord, he calls him Lord. Lord, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. You know, it's so significant that Lord is tacked onto the front of there because Paul could listen to this story. Paul could read this story. Paul could have heard Mark telling this story or Peter or whomever, because presumably at this point Paul wasn't there. And he could have gotten pretty upset about this. Because Paul's the one that later in 2 Corinthians says, well, what about my thorn? I mean, I've been asking God, what about my thorn? Lord, take this from me. I've been begging you. And Jesus says to him, you don't understand, my grace is sufficient. This is my choice for you. My grace is sufficient. See, without ask, we're going to put back up here, ask the Lord. See, it comes back to lordship again. Can I have confidence in God? Can I be sure in Him that He's hearing my prayer? Yes. Has He stopped for me? Yes. Did He stop for the guy on the road? Yes. Is He answering my prayer? Yes. He's given me what I need. I mean, I gotta be honest with you. Hal and I have talked about this. I'm thinking about you right now, Hal. How many times has Hal got to ask, God, heal my body? I've prayed that for him many times. But what I want more than that, God, is what you want. And for whatever reason, God has his reasons. And can we live without knowing those? Can you have enough faith in God to not have to know? It's a way to change. So we keep reading. And we come to inside. Jesus entered Jericho, it says in Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. It was not his intent to stay. He was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy, and we know the deal with those guys. Charging too much and pocketing the extra. And he was a chief at it. I mean, he was organizing other people to do it. Mob boss, maybe seen like that in the Jewish eyes, I don't know. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. And since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. A couple quick things about Zacchaeus. What I love about this is while, you know, these guys were looking at their wall, and while Bartimaeus, he wants to receive sight, what I like this little detail about Zacchaeus is he just wanted to see Jesus. I don't know that he saw his blindness necessarily. We don't know that about him, at least initially. But what we know is he wanted to see Jesus. He couldn't see him because, quite literally, his shortcomings, but he just wanted to see him. I think there's a message for us there as we talk about change. Do I want change for me, or do I want change in my life so that I can better see Jesus? I mean, this is a prayer for us. Jesus, let me see you this year. In me. Help me to see you in others, even when they're messing up. I want to see Jesus. The other thing is, he positioned himself. And I think this is the coolest thing. He positioned himself to see Jesus. He went out of his way. The guy climbs up in this tree because he figures out, I mean, he's watching the scene, he figures out Jesus is going to be coming this way. What do I have to do to meet up with Jesus? I'll run ahead. I'll climb up this tree. I'll go out of my way. My guess is the guy's got money. He's wealthy. It's probably below him, below his status, to climb up a tree. A guy like this doesn't do that. But he wants to see Jesus. So he's going to position himself and make sure that he is going to run into him at some point. And that's exactly what happens. And the challenge here is when we talk about making a change is, am I willing and do I desire to position myself to make sure I'm going to run into Jesus? Because we can run ahead of Jesus, we can run away from Jesus, we can run without Jesus. Will we position ourselves to run with Jesus? And make sure that I'm going to have contact with him on a regular basis. Because here's the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing is that Jesus goes with the sinner. It's crazy. The people all around, they're like, you're going to go with Zacchaeus? Are you serious? And Jesus says, that's exactly who I'm going to go with. That's why I came. I came to go with the sinner. And what I love about this story is we don't get the sense that Jesus said much of anything to him. What made the total change in Jesus' life and what makes the total change in everyone's life is his presence. Jesus is just there. And there's something that happens because he has been sought out, because he is near, because his presence is right there. There's just this amazing thing that happens for Zacchaeus. Bartimaeus receives his sight. Zacchaeus is able to see more about himself. And he says, look, if I have wronged anybody, I want to do four times better on them. I've seen this, maybe you have too, portrayed in film. I love it. I mean, he's just so excited. He's like running around. He goes outside one way I saw in one film. He goes outside and he's got his money bag. And he's like, here, take this. Let me help you. Jesus' presence makes all the difference. See, we've got these huge walls, and we think, how are we going to bust through this wall? I can't get through it. And God says, look, you got to rely on me. You got to trust what I'm telling you and trust in my ability. Just position yourself to run into Jesus, and he will make the difference. And you may not even know how or why, but he will. We spend so much time trying to fight against the things that we don't want to be or even fight for the things we think we want to be when really we just need to be fighting to get near to Jesus. We need to be going and fighting through whatever it is in our life, just like the lady who had the issue with the blood, to reach out and touch Jesus. If I could just get near him, if I could just get near him. Does this mean that if I get near to Jesus, all my problems will go away? And in 2014, everything will be perfect? Absolutely not. In fact, the truth is, you'll probably have more problems. But they will not imprison you. You can be free, and you can have peace that passes understanding, and you can have joy. We talked about joy this morning in class. And I'll tell you what, in this life, that is my pursuit. Not joy itself, but the presence of God that produces joy, no matter what's going on. We're using different kinds of languages, but we're saying the same things. Do you hear Debbie saying over and over, you got to live in the Spirit? Jesus says, it's good for me to go bodily but so that the Spirit, my Spirit, can come and dwell in you, in all of you, and forever. But we have to trust in that promise, and we have to believe that He makes all the difference. And understand that if we'll just position ourselves, Jesus will go with us and make that change and be more. Let's pray together. Father, in some ways I feel like I went a long way around to say a very simple thing and something that I say all the time. But I felt, Lord, that it's worth going through some history to show that you've never moved, that your message has never changed, and that you have been working out all of this time for us to simply run to you. To run first in faith, trusting in your promises. To run to you, Father, in abandonment, where we would just abandon ourselves to you. I'm thankful for these reminders, and I pray, Father, continually for this year. I pray that we will take a step closer to you, that we'll understand better what it is that Jesus is our Lord, and that you will teach us how to submit to him and to submit to you, to your Spirit that you've caused to live in us, so that we can, Father, break through the barriers in us as a congregation, that we can break through the barriers in us in our thinking and in our feeling, in our reacting to certain situations, that we can learn to trust you, Father, and to truly hope in your ability and not in our own. Father, I pray that you'll help us to break through a barrier of a desire to control and replace it, Father, with a desire to submit. That you would give us wisdom and discernment to know when we are to move, to assist us in our planning, to help us, Father, to shift and to change as we need to follow your heart, to follow your mind through your Spirit in us. Show us where we need to change for your glory so that we might be green and growing and your name be glorified. Father, I'm so thankful for Open Door. I'm so thankful for this body. I'm so thankful for what you're doing among us, even though at times it is hurt. But help us to trust you. We know, Father, that you are completing the work that you have begun in us. And we put our faith and our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I mean every word of that prayer. God is working among us. And it does hurt sometimes. And we're praying too much for God not to churn up the things in our lives that we have got to face in ourselves, in our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces, whatever it is, we're asking Him, God, show us that. And it hurts to look at it, and it hurts to deal with it. But that's what we're doing. And I'm thankful. And I ask God for more. Because the more we have from Him, the more we have of Him. And I don't want to miss a thing. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come and let us help you. Come as we stand and sing.